Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown!
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Roto Experts in the morning, the final hour of our special Super Bowl edition. Just about 40 minutes of legendary New York Mets captain, former third baseman, special advisor, David Wright will join us to talk about Super Bowl 53. He's a big football fan. I'm here with big football fans, Joe Galina and Jim Day, as we get ready for Super Bowl 53. Guys, give me your pick for your favorite Super Bowl of all time. It can be the one involving your favorite team, and then maybe the one that doesn't involve your favorite team. Go ahead and you start, Joe.
Well, I'd have to say the Super Bowl, I forget the number, but 21, 1987 at the Rose Bowl. 39-20, my Giants beat the Broncos. Phil Simms, 22 of 25, three touchdowns. You know, that was the team coached by Bill Parcells. Mark Bavaro, my all-time favorite NFL player, had a touchdown, 4 for 51 in that game. You had spunky Phil McConkey also scored a touchdown. And Joe Morris, me and him are the same height, little Joe Morris. So he was one of my favorites as well. LT on that team, too. You know, Belichick calling him the best player he's ever coached, but at the same time didn't want to rank Brady. And maybe he thinks he still wants to squeeze out a little something out of Brady by not calling him the best player he's ever coached. But that's my favorite Super Bowl.
And what's your favorite Super Bowl that does not involve the Giants?
I don't know. You'd have to go to Jim. I have to think.
Okay, he doesn't care.
I mean, you know, because what? I don't care about any other Super. I mean, when we were younger, right, Scott? These Super Bowls were all blowouts, right? It was NFC killing AFC throughout the '80s, right, in the early '90s. So, yeah, go to Jim.
Yeah, well, my Super Bowl, my non-favorite team is going to blow that out of the water, but go ahead, Jim.
Well, hey, look, I like the 1986 as well, but I'm going to go with the 2007. You know, of course, Giants beating the Patriots, you know, upset the undefeated Patriots, stopped them from going 19-0. Just amazing game all the way through.
18-0.
You know, everybody talks about the Tyreek, not Tyreek, the big catch, you know, Tyreek made in that game. But for me, even in that same play, it was Eli Manning making the big play, because you never see Eli Manning get away from guys when they get him in their clutches. Yep. And then on that play, that's exactly what you saw. He was surrounded by guys. A few of them had holds on him. He pulled away and made that play that Tyreek was able to catch. And, you know, of course, we know how big that was. But just a great game all the way around. Came back and beat the Patriots. And the best part about it was their season was terrible until the very last game of the year, playing against the Patriots. They ended up losing that game, but they played a great game and forced Tom to really have to beat them at the end. And that seemed to get their motor running. They squeaked into the playoffs and then just went on a tear in the playoffs. So 2007 was my favorite that way. I'd say outside of my favorite Giants, I'd have to go with the game against – the Patriots game against Atlanta a couple of years ago, and just the fact that, you know, Atlanta had him crushed all game until the end and just let Patriots come right back into it in the second half and beat them for the biggest comeback in NFL history. That was just an exciting game. I don't care who won or everything. It was just a great game.
All right. My favorite, obviously, as a Seahawks fan, is Super Bowl 48, when they absolutely destroyed the best offense of all time in the Super Bowl and nearly shut them out, 43-8. I believe it was the most dominant defensive performance in the history of the Super Bowl. When people say to me the 85 Bears, well, I said, well, the 85 Bears
had
Tony.
I was about to say the 85
Bears. Yeah, the 85 Bears had Tony Eason. You can't compare the quality of the opponents. You know that when you look at the quality of the opponent that the Seahawks destroyed, it was the best offense of all time coming in, and they basically just dominated them, punched them in the face like right away, and knocked them out, out-physicaled them, everything. The most dominant defensive performance in the history of the Super Bowl. So that's my favorite, obviously. Most people have qualified as one of the two worst Super Bowls just because it was such a blowout. But I don't think we've ever seen such a dominant team. The Bears were a bit more dominant team over the season, but in the Super Bowl game, the Seahawks were more dominant. To dominate Peyton Manning and company over Tony Eason, to me, more impressive. As far as Super Bowls outside of that, you mentioned the Falcons Super Bowl. There was also the Giants the first time. They beat the Patriots as well. But I'm going to have to go with Super Bowl 23 when the 49ers beat the Bengals 20-16. I thought the Bengals were finally going to win a Super Bowl, and then Joe Montana had another incredible comeback, Joe.
Yeah, and, people trying to compare Montana to Brady. You know, Montana 4-0 in Super Bowls. I don't think he's ever thrown a pick. But that was a great Super Bowl, you're right. But, you know, it was a different time when you try to compare. You know, to me, Brady has earned the nickname the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Even though if he loses, we talked about it, if he loses, he's going to be tied for having lost the quarterback for having lost the most Super Bowls with Jim Kelly. But still, when you compare Joe Montana to Brady, it was a different time. You know, you could actually hit a quarterback back then, right? So, but that's a great choice there. Good stuff. Good stuff, Scott.
All right, let's
Joe
go
Montana,
back to the prop.
Greatest of all time.
Second greatest of all time.
No.
Tom Brady's been 9-9
4-0 in the Super Bowl. 4-0.
He had a better supporting
cast. And no picks. And it was a different time. Like I said,
Brady's
you could actually
4-0.
Hit a quarterback then.
Brady's
yeah, but
about
he's
to
went
lose
to, he went to more than twice as many Super
Montana
Bowls as Montana.
Won.
Anybody who says Montana is better is just a Patriots hater. They have an agenda.
I'm not a Patriots hater in any sense of the word. I have nothing but respect for what Brady and Belichick have done. But the fact that Montana's 4-0 in the big game and Brady's about to lose the same amount of games as Montana has won, you know what? There's something to be said.
Brady's gone to twice as many Super Bowls, and his prime has lasted a lot longer.
Well, because he's had a hell of a team around him and probably the greatest coach in the history of the game with him.
So, but Joe Montana had Jerry Rice and Bill Walsh.
Well, two good players and a good coach, I mean.
But I'll take the guy who's gone to 9 Super Bowls instead of 4.
Yeah.
All right.
Entitled to your opinion.
Yes, and you yours, even though it's wrong. All right, let's go to the let's go back to the prop desk with Jim Day and Joe Montana.
Okay, let's get into some more of these props. You're talking about let's jump on a couple of the player props and just to get them out there. You, Scott, you like Sony Michel to have a big game today. The total rushing yards by Michel, if you agree with that.
I've never said that, but go ahead.
You were talking about a power rushing game, and you thought that Michel.
I said they're going to it. That's what they're going to attempt.
Okay, well then this writes right up that alley. You tell me which way you fall. The total rushing yards they've set for Michel is over under at 76.5, even money, both over and under -110. Basically, paying the vig, 100 bet 110 to win 100 on both sides, over and under. So I'll go to you first, Scott. Like, which way do you think this plays out for Michel? You think he goes over the 76.5?
He's going to work very hard to earn his yardage. I don't think he's going to go over 100. I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say he hits it about 70.
Joe?
I think he goes over. 129 against the Chargers, 113 against Kansas City. I know that the Rams have ramped up their defense against the running backs during the playoffs, during the run, against the run. Basically, they've been stuffing the box. But, you know, I think in this case, you're going to have a guy who's just on fire, and his talent is going to trump their defensive play. So I'll take the over. And
you think he's more talented than Zeke Elliott, who they just stopped?
Yeah, I do. Nah, you I mean, do? No, yeah, yeah, come on, don't put
that's
don't
what Jim does. He puts words
I was
in your
making
mouth.
That yeah. more of a joke, but you do.
I know. No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't.
You gotta watch what Jim. He likes to put words in your mouth.
I know. But he's on fire. Three out of his last four games over 113 yards. So no, I don't think that he's better than Zeke Elliott, Jim. But yeah, the trend tells me he's going to go over the 76.
But what about the other trend on the opposite side of the Rams shutting down everybody in the playoffs? You got trends both going both ways. That's what made this interesting to me.
Yeah,
because I'm with you. I actually think he goes over. I think he goes over the 76.5. Right. I probably gets close to 100 in my opinion. So I like the over on the Sony Michel thing because I do think they'll get him involved. And even though the Rams have been good against the run, you have to. You have to respect Brady and what he could do in the passing game, no matter what. You have to respect that. So you have to give a little bit of life there. So I like Michel.
I say 68 68 rushing yards and a touchdown.
There you go. And we've been talking a little bit about the strength of the Patriots' offensive line. It's not only to stop defensive lines from sacking Brady, but also creating some holes too. So give them a little credit as well. He had 29 attempts against the Chiefs. He's going to have at least 25 in this game. And even if he, goes for, let's say, maybe 3.75 a carry, he's got over 100. So definitely over the 70. Is it 76 or 76 and a half?
76 and a half. Almost all of them usually get that half.
Yeah, so I'll take
in there.
Right. So I'll still go over.
Okay. This is one I really like. Total receptions by Rex Burkhead over under 2.5. And again, even money minus 110 for both the over and under. So you have to bet 110 to get 100 back. So you're not getting great odds either way. But man, 2.5, I kind of love this. I think he goes over that easily. I would expect more along the lines of 4 or 5 catches in this game. What say you guys?
I think it's going to be a push. I think he's going to catch 2.5 passes. I always laugh about that. He's going to catch 2.5 passes, right? I'm going to go over. I think he's definitely going to be involved in the game plan. Like we've been saying all throughout the show, Wade Phillips is going to expect a lot of White and Michelle. And McDaniel will say, okay, you expected that? Here's Burkhead.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I'm thinking. What about you, Joe? You talked about it.
Yeah, I guess I would. I guess I would take the over. Not much over, but I could see him catching 3 or 4 passes.
All he needs is 3, and you're over.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I like. I definitely think he's good for 3 this game. Okay, let's move on to another one. This one's a little tougher. Total receptions by Julian Edelman over under 6.5. Again, both the over and under at minus 110.
I'm going to say over. He's had at least 5 catches in 12 consecutive postseason games, which is a record. Second all-time receiver leading in postseason history. Jerry Rice is the first. I'm going to say Roby Coleman, you could say he's good, but Julian Edelman's matchup proof. I'm going to take Julian Edelman.
Yeah, I will too. And Scott brought up how good he has been in the playoffs and traditionally, but even when you look at just even his regular season, especially even since week 14, 9-7, 6-5, 9-7, I say the over on those receptions.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way. I get what you're saying, and I understand all of that. I'm just, we always talk about New England taking out the best weapon of the opposing team. I'm pretty sure Sean McVay is looking at it the same way. And, Edelman is that big weapon for them. I think we see him, not only with the one coverage, but I think there's a lot of over-unders on him and different ways to treat that where they always have somebody else nearby him. I'm going to go with the under. I think I could easily see him catching, you know, six balls for 70 yards in this game and going under that. So I'm going to go under there just to be a little offset. Next one, total receiving yards by Rob Gronkowski, over under 49.5. Again, these are all pretty much even bets, minus 110 for either side. And, you know, it really comes down to what do you think Gronk is going to do. If you're like Joe and I, well, I'm not going to speak for Joe. Mm-hmm. For me, I like Gronk to go over this number. I think he's going to be big involved in this game. I think he's going to get in the end zone and have a big statistical day. So I like him a lot. But we'll go over to you first, Scott. Which way do you see this falling out?
Over, like I said earlier, to show the Rams allowed the most receiving yards to tight end during the regular season in the NFC with 1,078. Joe?
Yeah, I'm going over as well. Liked what I saw from him against the Chiefs. 6 for 79, 6 catches, 79 yards. Seems healthy. Potential last game. I think that I like the over as well.
Ooh, I got... Okay, when we come back, Scott, can I do one more?
No. You can do a lot more than one. All right, coming up next, more props and game predictions.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Fresh. Turn this up. Oh, you suck an expert straight into fraud. Yeah, a little rock box there. How about that? A little Run DMC. You're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Special Super Bowl edition. Scott Engel, Jim Day, Joe Galita. Don't forget today, Super Bowl coverage throughout the day. Don't forget to party with Red Heat and Rage from 3 p.m. on, live from Studio 34. Listen to them ride the wave of emotions, as they'll have a lot riding on this game. You don't want to miss that on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and also on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube. Let's go back to the prop desk with Jim Day.
Okay, here's one I'm really interested in. I'm not sure where I actually fall on it, but I'd like to get your opinions. The total penalties by the Rams is an over-under 5 number. The over is minus 130. The under is plus 110. But, you know, the more I think about this, you know, the one thing that I have liked about the playoffs is the NFL obviously decided they were going to let the players play. You know, they're going to let them go out there and, you know, play the game. Most of the penalties we've been seeing have been of the, you know, false start variety, holding variety, things like that. Not really a lot of big plays down the field type of thing. But I'm wondering, after the no call at the Saints and all of everything that's come since then, including the ludicrous lawsuits and the call to have the game replayed and all that other, for want of a better word, crap coming out of the Saints. You had plenty of chances to win the game, guys. You didn't do it. Get over it. But because of that, are the refs going to go a little bit more the other way in the Super Bowl and tend to call more as opposed to not? So I'd really like to get your guys' thoughts on this, because it's really creating havoc in my head.
Yeah. A lot of the New England haters are going to say, well, you know, the referees always help the Patriots win. you know, will definitely take the over there. I think it's going to be a very physical game, though, so I'm going to take the over. But just as a side point, you know, and I always like to point this out, whoever complains about it, maybe with the Saints game, I think it's an exception because that call was so blatant. But usually when people complain about the refs and their team losing, usually 9 times out of 10, and maybe with the Saints game being the one exception, is the team didn't do enough to win otherwise. So, you know, stop you yapping about the refs. It's a loser's lament.
Yeah, totally agree on that. Joe, what are your thoughts on this?
What's the total yet? Is it 5 just for the Rams, or total just, be 5?
Yeah, 5 for just the Rams.
Okay. You know, the thing in the back of my mind is that, you know, Ndamukong Suh's got such a short fuse, and Patriots are going to, obviously, they're going to key in on Donald, but they're also going to want to frustrate Sue as well. So, you know, but at the same time, look, it is a Super Bowl, and you guys bring up some good points. I'm going to take the under, though. Under 5.
Ooh, you think so, huh?
Yeah. Well, you both think over? I know that Scott's
yeah,
over.
Do. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, because you said it was messing with your head.
It is messing with my head, but the more I think about it, I think they go over. They've been more highly penalized than the Patriots have been throughout the season either way. And not for nothing, but this is one of those – I'm going to throw a stat at both of you that just comes out of freaking nowhere. It really has nothing to do with this game, but to me it's just amazing. If Peyton Manning, who's number 2 on the all-time quarterback wins list behind Tom Brady, if he returned to the NFL, he'd have to go 111-0 to match Tom Brady's career win percentage.
Wow.
That's
what I said. I read that. I was like, holy crap. That's just amazing to me. 111-0 to match Tom Brady's winning percentage when he's number 2 to number 1 is just outstanding. So goes to both your points of why he should be the greatest of all time. And actually, I do agree with both of you. I'm just trying to get you antagonized a little bit.
I hear you.
okay, here's another one I like from Prop Bets. Jared Goff rushing yards. The over and under is 8.5. The under pays minus 118. The over pays minus 108. So, you know, they're favoring under a little bit, but 8.5, man. Don't you always it just looks too mind-numbing not to want to go over, Scott. How about you?
It is very tempting, but then when you look at Jared Goff, he's only been in double figures in rushing yards 5 times during the regular season, but he's went over in every playoff game. He's got over 8 yards, so I say the trend continues. You know, he didn't have any rushing yards in Week 17. In 6 of his final 5. In 6 of his last 7 regular season games, he didn't go over 8 yards, but I say he keeps it rolling. And Jared Wheels Goff will hit the over.
Joe?
I like the over as well. I think that Pats are going to try to, you know, stuff the middle and get stop that run. It might force Goff to come out of the pocket a little bit more. Yeah, I'm not looking at crazy numbers here, but you know, against Dallas, he ran for 12 yards. Against the Saints, he ran for 10. 8.5, such a small number. I'll take the over.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. It looks too enticing to me, which always gets the hairs on the back of my neck to stand up a little bit. But I agree with both of you. Look, the same stat that we've been talking about, we talked earlier today, is the fact that, you know, Goff is under pressure is not as good a quarterback as when he's not under pressure. His numbers are quite the opposite. He was 28th in the league when under pressure at quarterback rating. So, you know, with that being said, I'm pretty sure Belichick is going to bring the house and try to get him and force him under pressure, which is probably going to get him out moving around and running. So I think the over is a really good bet there. I got more if you want them, Scott, or do you want to go on to other things?
No, let's have some more fun here.
Okay. Then the next one I like is going back to to Rex Burkhead. Rush attempts, over under 4.5. So does he run the ball five times or not? The under is plus 108. The over is minus 136. So they're saying they think he goes over. What do you say, Joe?
I think he goes over. I mean, he ran the ball 12 times against the Chiefs, four times against the Chargers, five against the... I say over. I think you know, he's involved in this game. Pat's want to, you know, we keep on saying that Pat's going to want to run the ball. Both teams are going to want to run the ball a lot, and I think he easily eclipses that number. Over.
Scott?
I think he easily eclipses that number. By the way, today is the 11th anniversary of the David Tyree catch. So just noting that since you brought it up before.
Oh, to the day? It was to today?
To yeah, the nice. Day. To the day.
Nice.
It's
well, wasn't this also to the day? Didn't the Seahawks play the Patriots on this day? To what, 17?
No, that was 17. That was yesterday.
Yesterday, ah, there you go.
And then tomorrow is the anniversary of the Broncos game, which I'll prefer.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. SNY just tweeted that out, though.
Okay, here's one that I find interesting. Sony Michel's longest rush, the over and under, is 18.5 yards. You think he gets a long run in him? Scott, do you think he can go over the 18.5 or go under?
I'm going to say under. I think it's going to be really tough to earn his yardage today.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm with Scott. I take the under as well. You know, you and I both agreed, Taz, that he goes over the 76.5. But to Scott's point, I think it's not going to be an easy day for him. Yeah, you know, maybe he doesn't even rush for more than 4 yards a carry. Maybe it's in the high threes. So I don't know about the – I think I would take the under in that prop.
Yeah, you know what? I'm leaning towards the over because I think he gets it one big explosive play where, you know, they catch the Rams off guard with something unique and he breaks a hole and goes for it. So I think I'd take the over. I could see him with a nice 24
inside handoff counter kind of thing.
Yeah, right. Just, you know, when Rams are looking pass and, you know, they get Michelle involved and, you know, he just opens up a hole and goes for it. So I'd like him to do that once. I'm not saying he's going to have a whole game of that. I think he's going to fight for most yardage. But I think one rush, I think he has a chance to go over that. So I think I'd take the run there. But let's turn it over to the
others. Taking a look at his game log. In weeks 4 and 5, he had 23 and 34-yard runs in week 7. He had an 18-yard run. In week 12, he had a 33-yard run. In week 16, he had a 19-yard run. And then in the playoffs, he had a 40-yard run in the opening game against the Chargers in the divisional. So he's very capable of it. He averaged 4.5 yards per carry this year.
Okay, well then, turn it around to the other side. Let's talk about Todd Gurley's longest rush, and also set at 18.5. Which way do you go with this one, Scott?
I go under. I don't think he's 100%. I think I go under.
Well, just so you know, the under is at actually minus 136, where the over is at plus 108. So right now, the books are saying they agree with you.
Mm. Yeah, so I'll stay
agree
away
with Scott
from
too.
This.
I'm going to make it unanimous. I definitely like the under in this one as well. You know,
I think he's capable of spurts.
You know, it was funny. I was watching the Frenzy last week, right? And and you were talking about, you said the word unanimous, and then Ventra said, yeah, I don't like anonymous either.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you never know what comes out of that boy's mouth.
Yeah.
Makes it kind of interesting for me.
Yeah. You love when he says, it's your boy.
Oh, I hate that. You're a 32-year-old freaking man. Whatever.
You bust his chops pretty good.
Yeah. I bust all their chops pretty good. Hey, that's part of the fun of doing this stuff. You gotta have some back and forth, you know. Going back and forth. It's just a lot of fun. Look how much fun we had creating a rift between us and the BFFs. Everybody loved that. That was a good 4 or 5 week period where everybody was talking about it. Hey, it's radio. You've got to have some fun.
Radio was great, yes.
Let's take a break here for the props. Don't know if we'll get back to it, but more of that on rotoexperts.com from Davis Matic. Time to give our Super Bowl predictions, final scores, and Super Bowl MVPs. And we'll start with Joe Galina.
Okay, so I'm liking the Patriots to win 31-27. I think these two teams, though they match up, they're more alike than a lot of people realize. Both have really good offensive lines. The Patriots' offensive line getting a lot of attention lately because, you know, Brady hasn't been sacked at all. But both teams like to use the play action and whatnot. But, you know, my prediction is, hey, you know, Pat's going to clog up that middle and limit because you can't really stop. I don't think they're going to totally stop the Rams' run offense because it's just too good. But, hey, look, they saw that the Bears had success against the Rams when they double-teamed Aaron Donald. They're going to do that, to borrow some of that. Pats have the inside scoop on how to contain Brandon Cooks from his time with the Pats. I expect a big-time game from Rob Gronkowski. I think that this is going to be his last game in the NFL, and what way to go out on top. I expect at least one touchdown from him. Rams run D has played much better, but look, I think that Sony Michel is going to grind it out, and then if he doesn't, then you got little dink passes to James White. Sean McVay group right here, very good team. They're probably going to win a Super Bowl, but just not this season yet. So my Super Bowl MVP is going to be, I'm going to just say, Rob Gronkowski, and McVay is going to learn a lot from this game. And like I said, this group of McVay's is going to win a Super Bowl eventually, just not this year.
All right, after that 37-minute answer, Jim, what's your prediction?
I like the Rams in this one. Look, I understand everything being said about Brady and the Patriots, and I get it, but they've shown they can be beat. He's lost three already, including last year, so they can be beat. They're not the omnipotent hater team that everybody makes them out to be. They've just been a very good, long-standing team. I get that. But I think the Rams are going to come out with some wrinkles that even Belichick and Josh McDaniels aren't ready for. And I think they're going to end up winning. I say 27-24 Rams. And look, just because I put some money on it, I'm going to go with Todd Gurley as MVP.
All right. That for the Patriots hater, Jim Day. And
The Patriots. Why would you say that? I love the Patriots. We beat them twice.
Everything
what
you just said.
Oh,
they're just a very – they're just a good team. They're not omnipotent.
That's right. They're not.
How are they not omnipotent?
They lost last year.
Super Bowls? One of the teams went to nine Super Bowls.
Man, you know, Scott,
by the skills of the NFL, they definitely
would have been 4-4 in the Super Bowl.
If only Klaus and Horseshoe. All right.
And hand grenades.
Yeah. Now, anyway, I'm going to take the greatest football team of all time to win another one.
Giants? They're not in it.
What?
The Giants.
Giants are not the greatest team of all time. Exactly, which is why they're not the greatest team of all time.
But they beat this team
pretty good.
Twice.
Yeah, but they've won less Super Bowls than them, and they haven't gotten there nine times. I listened to your Patriots hating answer. Can you let me talk now? All right. I say the greatest team of all time wins again. They're going to try to put this game on the shoulders of Jared Goff, and he's going to struggle. I think the Patriots are going to have a sizable lead of about 31-17 at one point. They'll be ahead by 10 or 14. I just think Bill Belichick. I don't think Jared Goff and McVay are quite ready for this yet. I'm going to say New England 31 and the Rams 24. The Patriots will cover. All right. So. That's it for our analysis. Coming up next, our final guest of the day, maybe saving the best for last. Joining us next, big Giants fan. Don't know if he hates the Patriots like Jim does, but maybe we can find out. Very avid fantasy football player. Maybe we'll even ask him a few baseball questions. Legendary New York Mets captain and third baseman David Wright will join us next. David is now a special advisor to the CEO and the GM with the New York Mets. So maybe we'll talk a little baseball with him for the 2019 season. But I know David's looking forward to Super Bowl Sunday. So stay tuned. We'll have David Wright next. You heard our predictions, and we'll be covering Super Bowl 53 throughout the day here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Red Heat and Rage live from 3 p.m. Eastern on. You don't want to miss it, as these guys have so much invested financially in the games, and they are going to live and die with every first down, every interception, every fumble. So David Wright joins the Roto Experts in the morning, Super Bowl edition, next, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Our Super Bowl edition taking until noon Eastern. I am Scott Engel, the Managing Director of RotoExperts.com. I am the King. I am Fantasy here with Joe Galina and Jim Day. We gave you our Super Bowl predictions. And now here joining us, friend of the program, to give his prediction and Super Bowl takes, it is New York Mets legendary captain and third baseman and now special advisor to the CEO and GM, David Wright. David, how are you? Thanks for joining us today.
Scott, what's going on, buddy? Thanks for having me. Nice talking a little football on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Before we get to that, you know, like I was telling the listeners, and I always do, you've been playing fantasy football for well over a decade. You had a great season this past year. Tell us how you did your leagues, and tell the listeners how you did your leagues, and you know, who were some of the key players that performed really well for you?
Well, the two biggest key players for me were my newly hired GM, Dave Racanello, our bullpen catcher for the Mets, that's been helping me out this year with the teams, and and you, my friend. I get my you know, a lot of my fantasy advice from you, so you guys are my two MVPs this year. So no, it was a good year for me. Maybe it's because I finally, you know, decided to hand the reins over to a GM and, you know, listen to you a little bit more. But, you know, I was in three leagues, made the playoffs in all three, won one league and came in second in the other. So it was a good year for fantasy. And, you know, we enjoy it, especially with the Mets. We've had a fantasy football league since I've been in the big leagues, and it's a good way for us to kind of talk trash during the off season, keep in touch, and, you know, certainly keep those competitive juices flowing in the winter.
So who are some of the key guys that helped you win your championship?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of the guys that we had the same on both of my my two teams that came in first and second. Matt Ryan was our quarterback in both leagues, which, you know, the Falcons probably underperformed this year as a team, but, you know, he lit it up most of the weeks fantasy-wise. But let's see, we had – I went – in one of my leagues I went it's two wide receivers, two running backs, and a flex. So I ended up going wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. So I went Julio. Then I went – I had Tyreek Hill with my third-round pick, and then my I got lucky with Chubb, ended up obviously being the starter, you know, halfway through the year. You know, so I got lucky a little bit with some trades halfway through the season. But for the most part, you know, the team was steady, you know, start to finish. So all is good in the fantasy football world right now for me at least.
Hey, David, thanks for coming on. Joe Galina here. It's great to hear that you're a fantasy football fan and like me, a Giants fan, so I'm pretty sure you're pretty psyched about Saquon Barkley. So let me ask you, we had this discussion earlier. If you had the number one overall pick in your fantasy league, who would you take? Looks like you had in the past had taken some wide receivers, but let's say number one overall, Saquon Barkley or Todd Gurley?
I'm such a Barkley fan. Obviously, when I first got called up to New York as a young 21-year-old, I got a chance to meet a lot of those Giants guys, and became friendly with them. So I've been a Giant fan ever since. And plus, where I'm from in Virginia, there's a lot of Redskins fans. And for some reason, I grew up just going against the grain and rooting against the Redskins. So, man, I don't know. Gurley is just such a beast. I know he's a little banged up right now, but man, that's going to be a tough decision. I hope that's the decision I have next year. So if I have the number one pick next year, I'll call back in and I'll get you guys' advice.
So, okay, I got to jump in here, David. Longtime Met fan, honored to be talking to you. Followed your career forever. I got to talk about Barkley. You said you love Barkley, but if you were in the Giants GM front office last year's draft, you take Barkley with that number two pick, or are you looking at one of those other quarterbacks instead?
Well, I'm a big Eli guy, so I certainly have a sensitive and a soft spot for Eli for everything that he's done for the franchise, and I've gotten to know him on a personal level. So, my opinion may not be strictly down the middle, and obviously emotion comes into it for me with everything that he's done for that organization. So, I think it's going to work out, for the Giants, and it's certainly going to be nice, when Eli is, decides that it's his time to move on, that to have Barkley in your back pocket, and then be able to certainly draft a quarterback for the future. But I'm a big Eli guy, so I like the direction that they went, and hopefully Eli's got a little more left, they can win with both Eli and Barkley, and then figure something out for the future. So I like the route that they went.
Cool.
Talking to New York Mets legendary third baseman and captain David Wright. David, you mentioned growing up in Virginia and rooting against the Redskins. It seems like a national pastime for everybody outside of Dodd Avenue in Boston to root against the Patriots. who are you pulling for today? Are you going against the Patriots yourself because you're not from Massachusetts? And who are you expecting to win this game?
Well, my wife's from Southern California, so I'm pulling for the Rams today, but it has nothing to do with, any kind of anti, Patriot rhetoric. I have a ton of respect for Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and, specifically Tom Brady. I come from a military town, and I don't ever think this, got out probably as much as it should have. And a friend of a friend, it might have been a friend of a friend of a friend, but anyways, I got contacted that a Navy SEAL in the Middle East lost his life, and he was a huge Patriot fan and would always draft Tom Brady in his fantasy football draft, and they got in touch with me. They were having a service for the SEAL back home in Virginia Beach, and he had a million pictures in Tom Brady's jersey, and just a huge Patriot fan, and I reached out and got a hold of Tom, and he filmed a message for the service for this SEAL, and it meant a lot to the family and friends that were at the service, and Tom was nothing but class and just really first class the entire way, and obviously it's tough to argue with him being one of the greatest football players of all time, but in my opinion, from what I saw for him, spending some of his time to reach out and send a message to that service member's family meant the world, certainly to me, coming from a military town and a military background with some of my family members. But really, really meant the world to his family and to his friends. And, certainly for me, I'll be thankful for him taking that time out and sending that message. So, certainly think Tom Brady is a class act, but being now married to a Southern California family, I think the Rams won a close one today.
Wow, great story. Thanks for sharing that. It's like I always say, yeah. You have to separate, who you root against from the people themselves, and that's a great example. You played in the World Series, you were in the playoffs, you won a division. 2015 was a great year for the Mets. Can you imagine, you know, what some of these guys who are playing in the Super Bowl for the first time are feeling, like Jared Goff and, you know, Robert Woods, et cetera? You know, do you have a sense, being in the World Series, what these guys are facing today?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and that's what I loved about the playoffs in baseball so much, was that, you know, it seemed like the focus on every pitch, you know, was just, you know, any pitch can win or lose you the World Series, as we saw. And then for us, it was tough. We swept the Cubs, so we had a longer layoff. So those butterflies and that nervousness just seemed to build up. And it took, for us at least, a few innings to kind of get back in the flow of the game once the World Series started. You know, we were trying to stay fresh. We were trying to scrimmage each other, have some kind of inter-squad games to stay sharp. But there's nothing that you can do, at least in baseball, to replicate, to keep your timing when you have like a week layoff in between, you know, first the NLCS in Chicago and then going to Kansas City for the World Series. So, yeah, I imagine football is similar, where you have this layoff in between. And as a player, you just want to get to that game, you know, to get in the flow of the game. And it's a little different with probably football, same with baseball, is that, you know, the pregame ceremonies are a little different, so you kind of get out of your routine a little bit. The time in between innings for baseball is a little longer during the World Series for all the commercials. So, you know, little things like that, not necessarily throwing you off, but you have to get accustomed to for, you know, the show that is the World Series and the show that is the Super Bowl. So, you know, as a player, I just wanted to get there and get into my routine and kind of get in the flow of the game. And, you know, once you get that first ground ball hit to you, or once you get that first at bat, you kind of get into the flow of things. But until then, you just have all these butterflies just building up, and this anxiousness that you just want to get this thing started and get into that flow of the game.
Joe?
Yeah, great stuff. Hey, as a Giants fan, we were talking about our favorite Super Bowls a couple of seconds ago. So as a Giants fan, do you have a favorite Super Bowl? I mean, mine was from 1986. I might be a little older than you. And Jim brought up the David Tyree catch, you know, when the Giants beat the Patriots. Do you have a favorite either Super Bowl moment for the Giants, or a favorite Super Bowl that stands out in your mind?
Oh, the David Tyree catch, for sure. I mean, it's not even, for me, it's not even close, at least. You know, especially because, you know, I was kind of beating my chest a little bit that Super Bowl. You know, we were in New York, and, you know, I had a little Super Bowl party over my apartment. And, you know, at the time, they would always ask me, you know, the beat writers in New York would always ask me, you know, who's going to win the Super Bowl? And I'd try to give this, you know, this lengthy prediction that, oh, the pass rush is going to get to Brady, and the Giants are going to kick a last-second field goal to win the Super Bowl. You know, just thinking that it'd never come true. And everything that I kind of said in that article, I remember, like, came true. And I looked like this genius, you know, football predictor in New York. Wow. So I was really pumped about that Super Bowl, and that's, like, the one that I've gotten correct. So, you know, it's pretty cool to, you know, give this lengthy interview to, it was one of our beat writers in New York, and, you know, say that the pass rush is going to get to Brady, and, you know, and it's going to be a last minute field goal to win the Super Bowl, and pretty much everything happened, and it was pretty neat. And then that David Tyree catch was just out of this world. So, and then hearing Eli after the Super Bowl saying that, you know, he's got a case of the drops a lot, you know, practice, things are going right through his hands, this and that, and he makes one of the greatest catches in, you know, the history of Super Bowl. So, you know, it's kind of pretty cool to hear the background on that and hear Eli talk and you know, kind of see all that come to fruition.
David, we just got about a minute left here. I know, thanks for coming on. I know Jim was very excited to talk to you. Real quick, baseball-wise, fantasy players, what could they expect from Jed Lowrie and Wilson Ramos as Mets this year?
I mean, I'm not 100% sure how the fantasy baseball side of it works, but, you know, I can foresee, and I think what our new GM, Brody, has done has been tremendous, where, you know, our rosters become so flexible and so deep, where you can have a Jed Lowrie-type guy that can play all four infield positions, and you can start spotting guys regular days off, but you have a guy like Jed or McNeil or, you know, even Frazier can play third, first, you know, Cano can play both both positions on the right side of the infield. You obviously have a young up-and-coming talent at shortstop with Rosario. So, you know, for me, it's just the flexibility of having multiple guys that can play multiple positions. And I'm assuming that that's helpful in fantasy baseball, because if there are guys that can play multiple positions, so if there were guys in football that could play multiple positions, they would obviously be ideal. So, you know, I'm assuming that's the way that Mickey and our coaching staff are going to utilize these guys. And Brody deserves a lot of credit for the energy that he's brought to the organization. And also, you know, going out and he's mentioned taking away the what ifs. So now, if you have a guy that's struggling, we have a guy behind him that can kind of fill in and not necessarily take his job, but, you know, give him a blow when he needs to, and try to keep these guys fresh, and kind of be on that rotation where you have multiple guys playing multiple positions.
All right. Legendary New York Mets third baseman and captain David Wright. Thanks as always for the time. We always appreciate having you.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. And happy Super Bowl Sunday.
All right. Same to
you.
Hopefully for your wife, the Rams win. All right. That was David Wright. And I know, Jim, I'm sure you enjoyed that.
I did enjoy that. I love watching him play. One of the best third basemen we ever had.
Yeah.
I'm a Yankees fan, and I enjoyed it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he seems like he's a very big Eli Manning fan. And when you look at just like over the course of the last 15 years, you know, Eli, Derek Jeter, and David Wright, the way that they've conducted themselves and the level of play, it's just we were so lucky to have watched these three guys play in their prime. And David Wright, one of the greatest Mets of all time.
Yeah. And yeah, very interesting is his story about Tom Brady. Like so many people, like, just, you know, hate on the Patriots, and Brady really has to, you know, deal with a lot of that. I'm sure, you know, he sees social media, etc. That was very cool to hear, Jim.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Nice to get insight from guys that have been there and done that, and, you know, see a different line than what most fantasy analysts have seen. So when you ask them the question about, you know, does the pressure get in on these young guys in a big game like that, I thought that was a very good question.
Yeah, you know, just like there's butterflies, but you want to get into your routine. I guess all pro sports are the same in that regard. So, thanks a lot to our guest today, David Wright. Dan Graziano, Seattle Seahawks tight end, Nick Vinette. Thanks for listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning, our bonus co-host and analyst and resident Patriot hater, Jim Day. And 38-minute analysis per question from Joe Galino is great stuff. Thanks, guys.
There you go, baby.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Don't forget to listen all day long to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Red Heat and Rage, from 3 p.m. Eastern on. You got to listen then.